number 60. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This is the first of a three-part series to explore the nature of humankind, democracy, and the battle between what we strive to achieve versus what is ever actually achievable. Science fiction gives us the opportunity to explore such themes without appearing too political, but the proximity of pandemic measures around the world with varying degrees of restriction on civil liberties should make us think about what is worth doing to ensure our health and economic and cultural and social survival. Political events, health scares, natural disasters, these are all things which should make us question whether we're up to the task, whether our systems are up to the task, whether our institutions are up to the task of managing us and helping us progress as a species. We don't think about such things. We don't question whether our methods are good or bad, whether we should improve them. Then we won't grow or adapt. And the robots, they really will take over. Anyway, this three-part series is effectively some soul-searching. And the first one is called Insurrection. The year is 4010 of the Common Era. The great expansion of 3000 CE saw the human race spread across the galaxy, colonizing every habitable planet, and in the great tradition of its insular past, subjugate the indigenous species wherever they landed. 84 planets in 7 star systems were governed by a single unitary body, the Galactic Council of 7, which sought to create prosperity and security across its spheres of influence, bringing the values of the planet Earth to the galaxy. The original council in the era of the Great Expansion was dominated by the larger nations of planet Earth and their mutual hatred of each other's political systems, which caused the spread of the flower of democracy by the brutal fist of military certainty. In the hundreds of years that followed, as the military approach became less productive to maintain control over the long term, evolution towards a form of egalitarianism had been adopted, allowing more freedoms, elections, and degrees of independent decision-making. The new era was characterized by greater cooperation between the star systems, as interdependence demanded understanding and tolerance. This approach, though, brought many dangers for a federation of human-driven societies with access to widely different climate advantages and resources. Tensions that drilled into the everyday lives of the people flared and spread, mirroring the conflicts of the old consumerist societies on planet Earth. The most recent colonized sector, close to the triple star system of Koi, had suffered an insurrection so severe that it forced the council to debate openly for the first time about the nature of its laws, its demand to impose democracy on local populations, and the ability of local governments to police themselves adequately. On Koi Beta, a local official, previously in charge of the entire planet, had lost an election, then led an assault on the democratic institutions established to provide continuity of authority. Thousands had lost their lives in the first assaults. Then, in spite of being defeated, the disaffected local official had exercised his final constitutional right in the last days of office to launch nuclear warheads against the enemies of the country from which he had been removed. The local population, decimated, disenchanted, and now without anything to lose, rebelled, tearing down all instruments of government across the planet. Eventually, martial law had been declared with the aid of military from the Galactic Council, and an uneasy order was restored. The options of the council had become clear, either to return the planet to military control full-time, somehow install a more effective form of government, or abandon the planet altogether. To aid in these decisions, at the council headquarters on a moon near Wolf 359, the Council of Seven gathered the thinkers, the leaders, and representatives of the peoples of the Federated Star Systems for a fundamental debate in the huge chamber of parliament, the Stortegat, an assembly room with 1,000 seats. The room had been aptly named in tribute to the government of Old Norway, a legendary seat of equity and justice. "Welcome, Elector Solvig," the eldest member of the council spoke quietly, her voice amplified across the auditorium. "To all members of the council, representatives of the many peoples of the Federation, and especially invited guests." She sat down and gestured to the Elector Marianne next to her. "Never before have we gathered to discuss the consequences of such a grave threat to our rule of law, our way of life. We have taken the view that this insurrection is a direct challenge to everything we hold dear and as such, we must deal with it as a profound comment on the nature of our institutions, our processes, our methods of behaviour as a species. The Elector gestured to her colleague Kari, who stood up to continue. It is our view that we must debate the suitability of our species to rule the seven systems and the appropriateness of applying our methods and our institutions of democratic government across the regions of space to the planets with great natural resources, to those with barren lands, and those still under the control of our military commanders who wait with some reluctance to hand over to the people of the planet to enforce and uphold full and fair elections. Elector Marianne nodded to her right, to Elector Lars. Huge losses of life have been sustained since the Great Expansion. Some say this is due to our methods of colonization. Others say it is due to resistance of order and the rule of law. Others say that the rule of law itself is the issue because we bring our own perception of truth and duty to a place that it is not ours to impose. Others point out that natural laws across the universe dictate that universal values of tolerance and the protection of life are paramount. Some point to recent events and suggest that that has become irrelevant. Elector Lars seated herself, with Elector Tor now standing to speak. We gathered here today, and however long it takes, to debate the nature of our institutions and the reasons for our methods, so that we may either reinforce our actions or adapt and change. Perhaps we must allow the military to carry forward the mandate of the Great Expansion. Perhaps we should allow individual planets to make their own choices. Perhaps we should impose a compromise on all planets to provide resources, technology and expertise for every community within the Galactic Federation. Perhaps we should allow trade to flow freely so that those who work hard can benefit from their own industry. But the insurrection in the Koi system has undermined everything we thought we knew. So we must rebuild our philosophical foundations to see if we come to the same conclusions we inherited from our ancestors. Elector Tor handed the final presentation to his colleague, Christoph, the youngest elector, a member of the interrupted council of Koi. Christoph narrowed his eyes. He had lost many family members in the insurrection on his home planet. The clean-up operation had been brutal and insensitive, with few bodies of those slaughtered made available for the dignity of their own traditions. So we will start with a discussion about humanity itself. Since the Great Expansion, we have forged into the universe as though our purpose and our methods are to be admired universally and validated by the very expansion itself. This revolt, the people who inspired it, carried it out, and those who responded to it, bears a heavy responsibility. But was it an aberration? An insurgency to be dismissed all too easily? Or do its actions undermine the very nature of humanity and the democracy upon which we, as apparently sophisticated citizens of the universe, build our identity and the assumptions that drive the progress, the prosperity, the liberty and the freedoms of our species? Christoph had suppressed his anger well, but the passion of his speech was underlined in the minds of the audience by the knowledge of his losses. As he resumed his seat, his face rigid, a ripple of appreciation fluttered through the auditorium of 1,000 beating hearts. Elector Solfig nodded to her colleague and raised herself once more. As my good friend Elector Christoph suggests, we will now move to the discussion about humankind itself. The first part considers the nature of our species and its suitability to experience, spread, and defend values which we call democratic, but to which some have objected because they see it as an imposition of values they do not or should not hold. The discussion will be conducted by the invited members of the audience. We have gathered scientists, economists, cultural advocates, representatives of the many different communities within the Galactic Federation, and specifically avoided the politicians of each planet. We will proceed with historical citations by advocates from the birth of the many forms of democracy some 2,000 years ago. To hear the testaments of such figures will give us an insight into the roots of our values. We will then discuss the nature of humankind. And finally, we'll debate the application of democracy in our Federation of Planets in the hope that we can understand the reasons and the flaws to make a decision about our future actions. Our aim is to test our ambition of creating a just society and whether it is even achievable. Next week, we'll continue the story and explore whether human nature is actually equipped to deal with the freedoms that our lofty ideals present us with. Thanks for listening. See you next time. This is Jake Jackson. Goodbye.